Nerd Night 49, Living in a Cyberpunk World with Alex Corvo.
I am not going to talk about Blade Runner 2049 because I want you all to go and see it without spoilers. But I do have a question. How many of you saw the original Blade Runner from 1982? Yeah, okay, a lot of hands. That movie is really a cult classic because with that movie, Ridley Scott really tapped into something in our culture. And suddenly, all of our hopes and anxieties about the future were right there on the big screen. And it began a cyberpunk boom that lasted throughout the 1980s. Cyberpunk was pretty much over in 1992 with the publication of Neal Stephenson's Snow Crash. Snow Crash was a novel that both celebrated and satirized cyberpunk themes. And you know that when a best-selling novel is poking fun at its own genre, that genre is pretty much over. And of course, people were writing cyberpunk before 1982 and after 1992, but this was really its heyday. This was when cyberpunk themes were on everyone's mind. And in between, you had things like Neuromancer by William Gibson and the Mirror Shades anthology, edited by Bruce Sterling. These are books that set the tone for the genre. These are the guys that everybody else was imitating. And you had books by Richard Kadrey and George Alec Effinger and Pat Cadigan. You had movies like Total Recall and Tron and The Terminator. Science fiction writers were writing other things during the 80s. They were still boldly going where no one had gone before. But the cool kids were writing cyberpunk. These were the books that were winning the awards. These were the movies that were doing great at the box office. And it was different from other kinds of science fiction. This was not some far-off space alien starship stuff. This was Earth. This was the near future. These were stories that we could imagine happening in our lifetime. So what makes something cyberpunk? Well, cyberpunk stories are about two things: high tech and low life. The word cyberpunk is this wonderful combination of the promise of shiny new technology with cyber and the gritty anti-establishment feel of punk. So what is in these books and movies? Well, one thing you're going to find is a ton of technology. Artificial intelligence, virtual reality, human-machine interface, cybernetics that will turn people into cyborgs with artificial limbs or even brain implants. There is a ton of surveillance in these stories. Computing power is cheap, and it is mostly used to spy on citizens. The internet, as we know it, was not yet invented in the 1980s. But as science fiction writers always do, these guys looked ahead, and they anticipated it. The writer William Gibson coined the word cyberspace in 1984. Computer skills are a given in these stories. The ability to hack into a computer network might just be your ticket to a better life, because the technology is unevenly distributed. There is huge economic disparity and huge class differences. And cyberpunk stories are about the have-nots rather than the haves. These characters are cynical, and they are streetwise, and they are morally ambiguous. Cyberpunk stories are diverse. People of all ages and races and cultures and sexual orientations and religions all live together in one place. People speak multiple languages. Before cyberpunk, your typical science fiction hero was white and male and straight and had a moral code that had everything to do with upholding the status quo. But cyberpunk writers wanted to tell different kinds of stories. They wanted to tell stories about people who were brown and queer and women and young and poor and had a moral code that was shaped by that. Characters in cyberpunk have a lot in common with characters from hard-boiled detective stories or from film noir. I've heard it said that cyberpunk is like Raymond Chandler on uppers, which I think is a very good description. And I also have to say that this is more true of the books than the movies, because Hollywood, but the original source material is very diverse. And cyberpunk stories are urban, with dark social and political themes. Corporations are very strong, and governments are very weak. And infrastructure is crumbling. Roads, schools, police. Rich people tend to live in enclaves where they pay out of pocket for things like private school and private security. But the main, drugs. There are a ton of drugs in these stories, especially anti-anxiety drugs, because living in the future is stressful. Prostitution is everywhere. Sex work is just another kind of work. And pornography is also everywhere because, hey, what else is the internet for? And weapons are very easy to get. Most of these, the plots of these stories are solved by computers rather than with guns. But if you want a weapon, you can get one. But the main thing about cyberpunk, the way you can tell you are reading a cyberpunk story or you're watching a cyberpunk movie, the dead giveaway, this stuff here, none of it is the plot. This stuff here is the setting. The plots are separate from this, which makes it different from other kinds of science fiction. Other kinds of science fiction is always asking the question, how will this technology change the hero's life? Cyberpunk characters know this technology is not going to change your life. This technology simply is. It's taken for granted. It's at our fingertips and it's under our skin. These characters have other problems to solve. And cyberpunk themes and ideas influenced all of pop culture in the 1980s. It influenced music, when suddenly that synthesized pop sound was everywhere on the radio. And it influenced fashion. Black and neon were the colors of the future, and those were the colors that everyone wanted to wear. It influenced comic books and games and movies. Even the fonts that we used were those blocky fonts that you could imagine a computer generating. And it influenced architecture and even comedy and satire. The cyberpunk aesthetic was everywhere for a decade. And then it just kind of went away. Or did it? This is Max Headroom. And Max was always broadcasting from 20 minutes in the future. And I think that our friend Max was on to something. Because the world that we live in now, in 2017, is the world imagined by the writers in the 1980s. How many of you get upset when your GPS takes you the long way? Or when Siri doesn't understand what you're saying? Yeah, you're like, God, Siri's so stupid. We have so much technology at our fingertips that we have the luxury of taking it for granted. Our computers are so verbal that we're surprised when they make mistakes. My brother lives in Asia, and thanks to video phones in the form of Skype and FaceTime, I can talk to him just as easily as I can talk to my next door neighbor. We have washing machines that will text you when your laundry is done, and we are this close to having self-driving cars. Our technology has put us under surveillance too. Police have solved crimes with information from Fitbit and from Alexa. This is my mom. Isn't she cute? Everyone say aw. I know, my mom is adorable. She's 80 years old. And she's a cyborg. She is. She has an artificial hip, and she has an artificial knee, and she has hearing aids. Body modifications. In fact, we live with so much medical technology that we have literally run out of words to describe it. We simply say medical miracle. We put microchips in our pets. And there's a company in Wisconsin that wants to put them into humans. Yeah. The rock group ABBA is going on tour in 2019. And the tour is going to be done entirely by hologram. There are already people asking how they can get tickets. Yeah. Even the darker political and social themes of cyberpunk fit perfectly into our world. And as William Gibson described, the technology is unevenly distributed. And we all know this because we've all used the hashtag First World Problems. So where did cyberpunk go? believe it or not, cyberpunk stories are more popular than ever. But we don't call it cyberpunk anymore. If you are itching for some entertainment about high tech and low life, the section of the bookstore that you should be looking in, or the category of Netflix that you should be looking at, is the one that's labeled thrillers. Because cyberpunk is still with us. It's hiding in plain sight. Let's take a trip through the bestseller list. And I swear to you, I chose these books at random. I could have just as easily have chosen 100 other contemporary thrillers, but these looked cool. Darknet is about an artificial intelligence who hires hitmen through the internet and pays for them with stolen bank accounts. Little Brother is about a group of teenagers who hack their video game consoles in order to evade the surveillance of the state. And Rainbow Six is about using every high-tech weapon at the government's disposal to combat terrorism. In fact, Tom Clancy and his contemporary Michael Crichton put so much science into their thrillers that a whole new category had to be invented for them. They call them techno-thrillers, or as I like to call them, science fiction for people who think that they don't like science fiction. That's kind of a long name, probably. Techno-thriller is better. Yeah, it's in visual media, too. Enemy of the State is about an innocent man who's on the run from the NSA. But how do you hide when cameras and computers are everywhere? Person of Interest takes place in present-day New York. And it's about a self-aware artificial intelligence who is trying to prevent crimes before they happen. And cyberpunk themes can be found in James Bond movies and Mission Impossible movies and Jason Bourne movies. I read a really funny review of the newest Jason Bourne movie, and the reviewer was complaining and saying, Jason Bourne is more interested in opening a computer file than shooting a gun. And I'm like, my dude, that is a feature. That is not a bug. But I love cyberpunk. I not only love to read it and to watch it, I like to write it too. My first book is coming out next week. Thank you, you guys are so nice. And the other two are coming out this winter. That third one there, that is about a hacker who saves the world. And it does not get much more cyberpunk than that. But I don't tell people that I write cyberpunk. I tell them that I write near future thrillers. That tends to work a little better. Cyberpunk became thrillers when the world caught up. But that isn't to say that thrillers and science fiction are the same thing, because they're not. Science fiction still exists as a separate category. Those stories are always looking to answer the question, how will this new technology change the world? But with thrillers, the world has already changed. The technology is here. It is the background. It is the setting. Because we all live in a cyberpunk world. Thank you.